This morning I'd like to cover the same verses that we covered last week, although we didn't get all the way through them. But I want to give a picture of from the book of Philippians of three servants of the Lord. And, you know, for those who are not that familiar with Philippians, the setting is this. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book, he is in prison in Rome. And Philippi is, you know, kind of modern day north, eastern Greece and Macedonia. And, you know, he's writing to them, and they are a very close knit. They have a very close knit relationship. So the Apostle Paul, who is in prison for the gospel, you know, he's really concerned for them. And then he, you know, writes about how they have him in their heart. And so, you know, you could think about like Paul's there in prison thinking, how are the Philippians? How are the Philippians doing? How are they doing in their Christian life? And you could also think of the Philippians as like, I hope Paul is okay. And even more so, when he was in prison, they thought about him and sent a gift for him, some money to support him while he was in prison. He had to take care of his own needs. And they sent that through this brother called Epaphroditus. And so at the end of chapter 2, Paul lays out like three different ways that he thinks about serving those people, the Philippians. And it involves these three different brothers, himself, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. And we're going to look at how each of those are, you know, kind of a different way of serving. And I hope that, you know, from these, we can think about our own way of like, how would we serve another believer in Christ? Or what does it even look like serving another believer? Or even what does it look like serving the church? And I hope we can kind of see three examples, and we'll see what the Lord speaks to each one of our hearts. Hi, Zach. It's good to see you. Welcome, Zach, for visiting. I was in Indianapolis, where James and I were in Indianapolis, and then that's where you live. And then anyway, I'm glad you're here, and we'll see you here. So welcome. Okay, this is the first one. This is Apostle Paul. And let me describe how he thought about serving the Philippians. And he says this: if even I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Okay, and this is, I would say, it's the Apostle Paul, so it's kind of like the highest level of serving. And you know what? What Paul was saying is like, we're both offerings to God. You're an offering to God, you know, like, and then on, it's a sacrifice and service of your faith. And then I, the Apostle Paul, says, I am being poured out as a drink offering. And that drink offering, for those who are not familiar with it, you know, in the Old Testament practice of offering, you know, an Israelite would offer, say, like a bull or a ram on the altar of burnt offering, and then they would pour an amount of wine on that offering, and then the burning meat and the wine on top of it. I don't know if you've ever barbecued with like wine. It just smells really good. And that was an offering. And you know, there's this phrase like sweet smelling aroma to God. Okay. How does Paul serve? This is kind of like the highest way. It's like, you know what? Robert, do you offer yourself to God? And then Paul would say, I also offer myself to God. And I just am a drink offering, pouring out on Robert's offering. And then together, we are just living only for God. That is one way to serve. And you think about a bull, you know, before that bull was offered on that altar, he was pulling a plow. He was maybe like eating some grain. Maybe he was like escaping from his master and ruining somebody's garden. He was doing all kinds of stuff. And then when that bull got on the altar, he changed his occupation. What did he become? Ashes. He's like, the bull's like, I can no longer get out of my pen and mess up somebody's garden. I am just a burnt offering to God. And then Paul would say this also, I'm also just a drink offering to you, or a drink offering to God, and I will be pouring myself. And so I didn't apply this too much, but you know, the best way to serve God is to give yourself to God. What does that mean? I just give myself to Jesus. My life is not for Aaron, my life is not for pulling a plow. It's not for messing up somebody's garden. It's only for God. And then that was Paul's way of serving the Philippians. Okay, next one. This is a, you know, very next verse. Paul's like, you know, when I think about the Philippians, I'd really like to send a Marine, a special forces guy. I want to send somebody who is really good. And so he says, I hope to send Timothy. I hope to send Timothy. And then you wonder, like, what's so good about Timothy? Okay, this is the second serving person in this picture. And then it's kind of interesting. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. So he wants to send Timothy there so that Timothy can like assess like how are they doing, and then maybe write back to Paul or come back to Paul and say, hey, they're doing well, or they're doing this, or they need work in this, but he thinks they're going to be doing well. So he's like, I want to be encouraged when I learn of your condition. And so you think about like, what kind of person would be able to really tell the Apostle Paul how you're doing? It's a special person, because this is the Apostle Paul. And I would hate to be with the Apostle Paul, because I feel like he could see right through me. He'd be like, Rex, how are you doing? Fine. No, you're not. Okay. So anyway, anyway, he's a very spiritual person. And so Timothy has to go to Philippi. And then he's going to be like, so, Tom, how's your Bible study going? And you realize when you say to Timothy, it's going to go back to Paul. And you're like, ugh. And then it'd be like, hey, Ryan, are you spiritual? And then he's like, whoa, what do I say? It's got to go back to Paul. Okay, so Timothy had to be a special person, and he realized that. And that's the second level of serving. And then he says, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. In other words, Paul's like, I really want to know how your welfare. And this word, no, I have no one else of kindred spirit. It's amazing to me, because it shows how special Timothy is. You know, Paul would think maybe about like, this brother, that sister, that brother, that sister. And then he's asking, like, are they kindred spirit with me? No. Are they kindred spirit with me? No. Are they kindred spirit with me? No. We don't have the same value system. We don't think the same way. So if I would send somebody else who was not kindred spirit with me, and they would say, they're doing fine. You know, they might say, hey, Philippians is doing fine. They have a lot of offering. They have a lot of money in their bank. And then Paul would be like, but that's not what I care about. I want to know the welfare of them. So I want to know, I want somebody who is of a kindred spirit. And this kind of service requires not the offering like Paul, but you have to be a kindred spirit. And then he tells, what is that kindred spirit? For they all seek after their own interests. They all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. And so Paul, if you would ask Paul, I have 10 Christians here lined up in a line. And then he would say, seek after his own interest, seek after their own interest, seek after their own interest, seek after their own interest. And then maybe one would be like Timothy, seeking after the interests of Christ Jesus. And this is a way to serve. You have to become a person who seeks after the interests of Christ Jesus. And like we said last week, you know, there's no Greek word, original language word, interest, in the original language. The word is the, like the article the. So, you know, if I would directly translate this, for they all seek after their own the, not the of Christ Jesus. That would be the original Greek. So, you know, everyone has their the. Your the is different from my the, but it's yours and it's mine. But then there is a Christ's the. And to be a Timothy, you need to be a person who is like, I wanna seek after the of Christ, the interests of Christ. It might be hard to think about, like, what is my the versus what is Christ the? And then that's what Timothy would have to do, kind of sort that out. Like, and then that's why Paul said he's kindred spirit with me, because he's seeking after the interests of Christ, not just his own interests. And I would say, like, how did he get there? How did he get there? How does anybody get there? Well, it's interesting, like, Paul's further description of Timothy, but you know his proven worth. Proven worth means this. He has gone through some challenge in his life, and he has emerged. And let me tell you, how can you go through and find the interests of Christ? You pass through a challenging situation in your life, and you get emerged on the other side, and then you look back and you say, like, I think I understand a little bit more about what is Christ's interest and what is my own. That's the way Timothy grew. That's the way Timothy grew. And then, you know, his proven worth that he served me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. So Timothy just served a long time with Paul, like a child serving his father, because Paul was a person who brought the gospel to Timothy. He's like, my child, my, you know, he's very close. And he saw Timothy grow in the Lord. And I would just encourage all of us, you know what we're here in the church to do? We're here in the church to grow. So there'll be a lot of challenges here. Maybe you'll get challenged by money. You'll get challenged by an annoying brother. You'll get challenged by your own failures. You'll get challenged by a lot of stuff. And then we are here to become a proven worth, that we would know more and more what are the things of Christ and what are our own things. So therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as things go with me. And I trust in the Lord, I myself will be coming shortly. So praise the Lord. Okay, number three. I kind of like Epaphroditus. When I think about Epaphroditus, I don't think of somebody who is like the sharpest, what do you call it? Sharpest knife in the drawer. But you know what? He's good. He's good. You don't have to be the sharpest knife. You don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to serve the Lord. Amen? You could be Epaphroditus. With Timothy is like, oh, what's my own things? What is the things of Christ Jesus? You gotta be a sharp. Timothy is a sharp knife. Okay, I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. Okay, this is who Epaphroditus is. Hey, you're my brother. Amen. My fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is your messenger and minister to my need. You know, I think some soldiers need to be sharp. Maybe if you like use missiles or something, you need to be sharp. But sometimes you just like point the gun and shoot. You just say, this fellow soldier. Okay, and then this is what happened to Epaphroditus. Okay. He brought money from the Philippians to Paul. So very, very good. Like Philippians were like, send this money to Paul so that he can, you know, pay for his needs when he's in prison, because he has to pay for his own rent, et cetera, food. That's how the prison worked at that time. And then so Epaphroditus is like, yes. And then he goes to Paul and then he gets sick and he almost dies. Okay. For indeed, he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him also, but on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. So Paul's like, okay, you sent me Epaphroditus. And then this is my interpretation, so it might be too much, but it's like, thanks for sending Epaphroditus. But then he got sick, and then I have to take care of him. But thank you. But if he would have died, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. That would be really bad. But I'm glad, but I'm anyway. But it's like something happened, you know. Like, and I don't know if he ate the wrong food or what. I'm not sure. But Epaphroditus is very interesting. Look at this. He was longing for you all, and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So that was. So let me just say this. Okay. So Epaphroditus is sick, and then he's like, oh. He wasn't just stressed because he was sick. He was like, oh no, you're going to worry about me. And I'm distressed. That's what it says. He was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So it was like, so it'd be like, I get sick. And then I heard that Jasmine heard that I was sick. And so then I became even more distressed because like, I'm worrying Jasmine. That's Epaphroditus. Isn't that a really good brother? But very complicated. He's a very complicated person. Like, if I'm like, I'm so worried that you're worried. And then, anyway, it's touching, but it's like, do you have to be that complicated? Just get better, you know? But Epaphras was like, I'm so worried that you're worried. And then, indeed, he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him on me, but also on me, that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. So everyone's concerned about everyone. Epaphroditus is sick. He's like, oh, I'm so distressed that you're worried about me. And then Paul's like, oh, I'm so concerned that they're concerned for Epaphroditus. So I want to send Epaphroditus back so that I would not be as concerned about their concern about Epaphroditus. And he would not be so stressed about their concern for his being sick. Oh, complicated. You think the church life's complicated? It has been since biblical times. This is really complicated. Anyway, receive him then in the Lord. Amen. And hold men like him in high regard. I like him. What a testimony. Because he did this. He did this. Look at this last verse. He came close to death for the work of Christ. He came close to death, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. You know, one time it was a funny conversation. It was like, this brother was very, you know, in the church life, sometimes brothers can annoy brothers. You know, in any kind of situation, brothers. Robert, have you ever been annoyed by Tom? He doesn't answer. Tom, have you ever been annoyed by Robert? Oh, very good. Praise the Lord. We have transformed brother number one, transformed brother number two. You're almost ready to be raptured. Praise the Lord. It's good. Well, sometimes. So then I was like, and this brother was like, this brother is like, I just can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it. Because he was so grating. And then the brother stopped, the complaining brother stopped. And he said, you know what? I think that this brother would die for Christ. Like, he was thinking like, you know, I can't stand him. He's so annoying. I was like, I think that this brother would die for Christ. In other words, he was just given to the Lord. And just like, you know, Epaphroditus got this, just an assignment kind of like this. Like, you know, can you take this money and maybe you have to get on a ship or go on a highway. I think there was a highway that way. I'm not sure which way he went. And can you take this money to the Apostle Paul? And then he's like this. Yes. I'll risk my life for that. I'll risk my life. And you just have to appreciate a brother like that. You just have to appreciate. You just have to appreciate. And if you ask, like, do you, you know, Paul doesn't say, like, he really seeks the things of Christ Jesus. No. I don't even know if he really knew. That's why I say, I'm not sure if he was the sharpest knife in the drawer. But you know what? He was kind of like this. I have something of the Lord that needs to be done. And I will risk my life for that. And I will just put myself in. And I will just risk my life. Look at this. Hold men like him in high regard. Hold men like him in high regard. And you just see three pictures of three different people. Robert, come on up. Do you love Jesus Christ? Robert, Would you risk your life for Christ? I believe it. Are you the sharpest knife in the drawer? Or would you risk your life for Christ? Hold such men in high regard. And you just realize, like, the church needs all three. The church needs all three. And all three we can approach. Like, Lord, you know, thank you, you can sit down. You know, sometimes there's like a, it's like a, God will put like maybe a family member or a person around you on your heart. You know, maybe he'll say, like, you should really read the Bible with your mom. That's a hard thing to do for many people. Or maybe he would say, like, you should like say something about me to a coworker or a friend. And then some people have a thought, like, well, I think somebody else will do it. Probably somebody else will do it. You know, when I look at situations, I would say no. It's like, that's you. That's you. And it's like, the Lord just put that. And then, you know, the church would ask something like, oh yeah, this is a thing. And then it's like, no, there's that, this is you. And then, you know what Epaphroditus did? He's just a fellow worker, a fellow soldier. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. And then you wonder, like, what is my calling? What is my purpose? What is my whatever? And then sometimes it's the smallest things. It's the smallest things. And the Lord just puts it on. And then what is required for that? Just, he came close to death for the work of Christ. He came close to death for the work of Christ. And it's just pure faithfulness. And what we see with Epaphroditus is just pure faithfulness. And hold such men like him in high regard. And you just see how caring for him, and it's kind of funny. Like, I'm distressed because you are worried about me being sick. It's just kind of like, just simplify your life. Be simple. But Epaphroditus is like, I am, this is who I am, you know? And then Paul's like, well, he did risk his life. Praise the Lord. It's just like a good, you know, how to become a Timothy. I just want to talk about that. That requires you to be able to kind of like realize, like, what are my own interests and what are those of Christ? And let me tell you, it's really not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I would say, like, most people maybe have not grown to this point. Like, what is, you know, what is my interest? What are my interests? What are Christ's interests? Like, you know, like, you know, one of the worst experiences in the world I can think of is trying to find a new church. I just have such compassion on everyone who is trying to find a new church. Because what you're trying to find a church, just trying, not new, but just trying to find a church, I have such compassion because, like, you go to a place and you're supposed to judge them, right? Because, oh, that's so hard. Do you think that's hard? It's just like, am I supposed to judge my brothers? It's like, you just feel like, And then some people say, like, oh, I learned this phrase from Min, I think. Where's Min? Is Min? Oh, maybe she's working. She's like, they were looking for the feels. I learned this phrase, the feels. I was like, what are the feels? Like, I don't know. You're singing, woo! Oh, I feel. And then sometimes the singing is, oh, and then it's like, there's no feels. And then, where am I going with this? then you have to like, is the feels, or are the feels of my interest or of Christ? And then, oh, what a challenge. What a challenge. And then it's like, well, I'm looking for Christ's interest. Christ's interest. And then I would just say also, like, let me up that a little bit, like, beyond searching for a church. Like, we will go through a lot of difficulties in life. One time I asked a brother, like, do you have any advice for this young couple? They're getting married. And then he's an older brother, a grandfather many times. And he's like, I have no advice. Because you have no idea what you will face. And you have no idea the things that you will be confronted with in your life. And I was like, can't you give them something practical? make sure you don't forget the small things in life. Like, thank you, for your husband, wife, you shouldn't forget the small things. Take care of the in-laws. Make sure you take care of this. Good advice. Dress well at home. Some people dress, whatever. Those are all pieces of good advice, I was going to say, like, well, start saying that stuff, It's like, you have no idea what you will face. But in each of those circumstances, you will learn what are your interests and what are Christ's. Because let me tell you, your interests cannot get you through a hard time. It can't. But let me tell you, the interests of Christ involves eternal life and resurrection. The interest of Christ involves his grace, his mercy, his love, his light, his radiance, his purpose, and that will get you through. And you just got to go through. So I picture a Christian of, like, if you ask, like, what's a Christian life? And then at the beginning, they might say, like, 1,000 things. And I just picture them as, like, this, it's kind of a, I don't know, like, a, I can't think of a good analogy. You're like a horse with, like, 1,000 boxes tied to you. Just just loaded down with all kinds of things. And then you're like, what's the important thing in the Christian life? And you say, all of it. And then you go through something where you get your proven worth, and then maybe 100 boxes are taken away, and you have only 900. It's like, okay, that wasn't that, that wasn't that important. And then, you know, you start to learn, oh, what are the things of Christ? And then you begin to develop some spiritual taste for Christ. When you start talking about, oh, you should do eating regulations. You should not eat pork. That will keep you holy. And then some Christians do that. And I've had Christians say that to me. Don't eat pork so that you will be holy. And then I was like, well, but Jesus says it's not what goes into the person that defiles them, but it's what comes out of it. And then their response is, but still. So if you're into that, I would just suggest don't. But because that eating regulation will not take you through a tough time. You know what will take you through a tough time? Christ himself. The resurrection life of Christ himself. And then you just start, okay, so then, bacon is fine. I may avoid it to lose some weight. That's fine. But I don't think if I don't eat bacon, I'll be cleaner. I don't think that anymore. You know what keeps me clean? Christ himself. Christ himself. He keeps me clean. And then all of a sudden, that box falls off the horse. And you're like, okay, I see something of the things of Christ. I have interest. And then you become a Timothy like that. And you just go through your whole life, like just accumulating lessons. And you become simpler. I think the simplest person is Tony Wong. Sometimes Tony says, like, sometimes Rex, you just need to say hallelujah. Amen. The Lord. Okay, then the second final thing is Paul. How do you become this? James, how do you become poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of their faith? I like what he said. You just got to die. Not die physically, but you just die. Like, my life, it's just for you, Christ. Zach, isn't that beautiful? Can you think of a better life? Dying. I'm a drink offering. And I like the drink offering because it's not the main offering. The main offering is the bull or the goat or the sheep, the ram. And then that was the sacrifice and service of their faith. But the drink offering is just kind of like a pouring the wine. And then you might see this a little bit, like maybe Jasmine, you have a friend. And your friend is just like, I love the Lord. I'm just like, I just love the Lord. And then your friend doesn't know how much time you spent praying for her. And your friend doesn't know how much time you were like, should I read the Bible? Should I not? With her. Or think about, what does she need? And then your friend doesn't say like, I love the Lord so much, and I would just like to thank Jasmine for getting me here. And you're like, what? Say more. And then you're nothing. You're nothing. But they just love the Lord. And that was what Paul was like. You know, I'm just a drink offering. I'm just a drink offering. I served you so much. I prayed for you so much. I risked my life for you. I was in jail in your city. And then, you know what? Have a sacrifice and service of your faith, and I am just poured out on a drink offering. And you know what? As a drink offering, and then I rejoice. and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way. Share your joy with me. What a joyful life when you just, quoting James Reinhardt, die. Praise the Lord. But hey, you may have no idea what I was just talking about there, about dying. You may have no idea what it means to be like my interest versus Christ's interest, but you may be able to say like, hey, if you give me assignment, Lord, I can do it. Then you're Epaphroditus. Amen. But then you may learn a little bit more. Then you become a Timothy. And you're like, oh, I kind of get this. And then you may realize that actually nothing, nothing is stable, nothing is sure. The only thing that is worthwhile is I have died with Christ and I pour myself out. And then you are a Paul, just pouring yourself out for the good of the other members of the body, that together we would become this marvelous offering to the Lord, where the Lord is satisfied because there's a sweet-smelling savor, an aroma, and where we are full of joy, and you just realize this is a wonderful life.